This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Edge Energy Drink. Go to myedgedrink.com and order the only energy drink I enjoy because it's delicious, smooth, and has zero aftertaste. That's my kind of energy drink. It's the Big O's choice. Make it yours. Get the Edge at myedgedrink.com.
All right. I think we got the technical difficulty taken care of. And Squared Circle Digest on the air. SmackDown goes off. Interesting SmackDown, as it really didn't do a lot toward Hell in a Cell, whereas it did more for the TV show, I think. It furthered the Sami Zayn and the Bloodline kind of storyline, the New Day, and what are they now? The Battling Brutes. The Brawling Brutes, or as the great Xavier Woods said, the knockoff of the Wrestling Buddies. But overall, it was an entertaining SmackDown. It was not a bad SmackDown overall. Didn't really do much to looking at Hell in a Cell. The big news out of WWE, of course, is now it has been confirmed. They are moving the Money in the Bank to the MGM Grand from Allegiant Stadium. It's being reported ticket sales were not that good. And as I said the other day, capacity at Allegiant Stadium, again, not set up for wrestling, but capacity is 65,000. Usually you take about 15, 20,000 out where they cut off and the locker room area, and you're looking at about maybe 45 to 50,000. And the MGM Grand, AEW has it set up for wrestling and they're holding 12,000. So that is a major stumbling for the WWE. And the interesting thing that came out from all this was that the Hulk Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter, it was moved also. And now that's kind of come to light again as well, because they are having to move this. AEW Rampage also was on this morning. Or this morning, this afternoon early, went on at about 6:30. They had a Ruby Soho beat Chris Statlander, so she advances to the finals of the Owen Hart tournament for the women's side. And they had a spot that I was pretty happy to see. Gangrel made it up there and was in Vegas for the AEW. And the Young Bucks came out dressed up as the Hardys, and then Gangrel came out and was their second to the ring. Brandon Cutler came out dressed up as Lita. They kind of went back toward the Brood thing, and overall it was a fun match. To build up to the pay-per-view. What I did find interesting is, to me, AEW Rampage, and again, I know their pay-per-view is this Sunday, whereas Hell in the Cell has got another week. I think they're next Sunday. Their next Sunday or the Sunday after. So they got a week or two. But more went into the Rampage than SmackDown. Steve checking in. What's up, Sean? Second half's about to tip off, my man. Right now, the Heat are in the lead 48-46. Glad it was a decent show. It was. Don't think they're doing themselves any favors putting their show at 6:30. Who's got time to watch that? No, exactly. Exactly. And to me, that's kind of what Time Warner has told them, kind of, is like, hey, you know what? We appreciate you being on, but we've got the rights, the TV rights to the NHL playoffs, and we got the TV rights to the NBA playoffs, and we'll try to fit you in somewhere. And don't forget to be a part of the show. Jump on the chat whenever you want. And also, you can reach out with me, and I appreciate everybody that has joined up and started following me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean_Stanley11. Appreciate you all. And as I said, the second half has gotten underway and the Heat lead 48-46. So I'll keep you up to date. This will probably be a quicker show than normal. I will be back on Sunday before the pay-per-view. We'll do a pre-AEW Double or Nothing show, which then I will give my picks as well. But something's interesting that happened also during, they added two matches on Rampage now. And the interesting thing is, remember, they had one show, one match right now for the buy-in, which is Hookhausen against Tony Nese and Mark Sterling. Now they've added a mixed trios match, which is going to be Sammy Guevara, Tay Conti, and Frankie Kazarian against Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page, and Paige Van Zandt. So that got added, as well as, and there was a stipulation also, whereas I think if Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page and him win, then Sammy Guevara and Kazarian can never challenge for the TNT title. So we'll see what happens there. And then also Darby Allin challenged Kyle O'Reilly to a fight because of what happened with Sting, and Sting is out of action right now. That has also been put in. The interesting thing to see what happens is these matches are being added because of what's going on right now in the NBA. If the Heat and the Celtics do go to a game seven, Tony Khan has stated that his heavyweight title match will not go on until after game seven ends. So what they've kind of done is, I think, filled in a couple little filter matches to where they've got the extended time already. So now if there is no game seven, they can move them down to the buy-in, maybe one of them to the buy-in, the other one on the pay-per-view, or maybe they keep them both on the pay-per-view and still only have one match in a buy-in. But if there is a game seven, he's starting to build up the card now already. And again, it's already a pretty good card. Before those two matches got added, you have House of Black versus Death Triangle, the TBS Championship, Jade Cargo versus Anna Jay, Anarchy in the Arena match, Jericho Appreciation Society versus Kingston, Moxley, Danielson, Santana, and Ortiz, the Young Bucks versus the Hardys. Your Owen Hart Cup final for the women will be Dr. Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho. Your men's would be Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole. Your triple threat AEW Tag Team Championship match, Jurassic Express versus Keith Lee, Swerve Strickland versus Team Taz, which is Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs. You have MJF versus Wardlow. And then you have the AEW Heavyweight Championship match, Hangman Adam Page, the champion, defending against CM Punk. So, I mean, it's a pretty good card. And again, it's going to kick off at 8 o'clock Eastern, the main card, 7 p.m. kickoff show. So that means 5 o'clock in Vegas or 4 o'clock for the kickoff show. So I will probably go live at about 6:30, take you up to the kickoff show. And we'll go over predictions. We'll talk a little bit about the card. We'll look at some of the matches, see which way we think they will go. And then we'll have some fun. We'll watch the pay-per-view and go. Again, the pay-per-view will be on Bleacher Report in the U.S., and then I think you can get on Fight TV in the U.K. and Australia. And it's going for $49.99, which, again, why you have to have a stacked card. AEW has to have stacked cards because it's not WWE on Peacock where you're paying, you know, $4.99 a month, $9.99 a month, and you get the pay-per-view for free. So, again, pretty good card, I think, and I think it's worth the $49.99, and now they've added the two matches to it now. So we'll have to see which way they go. And it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be a great pay-per-view. A couple matches I'm very interested in, and we'll get to them on the buy-in show, or I'm sorry, my preview show. The buy-in would be them there. And now did we just get a 4-point play on? I have to see if they got a 4-point play. I'm sorry. The Celtics just hit a three. I think there was a foul right now. It's 57-55, and they did. Marcus Smart looks like he picked up the foul. So he'll go to the line, and we'll have to see what happens here. And again, as like I said, this show will not be that long, as I've still got a lot of work to do on the production side for Big O. We got a holiday weekend coming up. We got a pay-per-view. coming up, and the Heat are playing on prime time, trying to force a game seven. And so far, it looked pretty damn good. Let's see. Steve Jobs said $50. Good luck with that. Good card or not, that's a lot, especially when you consider WWE is a much better value. Yeah, they've averaged 170,000 buys is their best, and that was their last pay-per-view, AEW Revolution. They've averaged about 170,000 buys. That's what they're trying to shoot for on this one. We'll see. I think they'll get it. The pay-per-view buy rates have been better when you look at what their ratings are on TV. Their pay-per-view buy rates have been better than expected, just based on what the TV viewing is. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but still 170,000 at $50 a piece. And then also, if you have some restaurants or anybody doing, you know, sometimes those get bumped up to licensing rights, and then you're looking at $1,000. And again, it's one of those things. They have to do that because they don't have a streaming. And again, maybe that's in the works with the new merger between Discovery and Time Warner. So we'll have to see. I mean, maybe they put them on a streaming service and that goes away. Again, before WWE was doing that, they were doing $49.95 pay-per-views too. That was the way of the world at the time. I used to remember, I mean, that was crazy when they were doing every other month or every month, and they were, you know, it's $45, $50 a pay-per-view. It just got too much, man. It just got too much. Again, AEW, four pay-per-views a year. Four. If they go to a streaming service, it'd be interesting because I think they'd have to change their format, the way they book, if they went to, you know, a pay-per-view every month, even every other month. Right now, they're able to draw out storylines, and that will not happen if you go to monthly pay-per-views or every other month. The interesting thing with WWE, too, is now with the MGM, they have moved it up to July 2nd. And if I'm not mistaken, in Vegas, July 2nd, it will be, hold on 1 minute, let me see here. If I could spell. July 2nd will be, I believe that's the International Fight Week, Fight Weekend is July 2nd. Also, that's at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas as well. The same night. Actually, they're doing their card at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Very interesting. So maybe WWE saw that and booked that. They had already had, because remember, WWE was running it at Allegiant, and then they switched it now to MGM. And sorry about that. I'm trying to see what that one is. But WWE is the major leagues. AEW is not. I don't know if that's 100% correct. I think AEW is the major leagues. I mean, they're doing pay-per-views. They're selling out. They sold out the Forum. They sold out, you know, the Grand Garden Arena at MGM, which right now WWE is trying to do. You know, so again, I think it's two different ways of watching wrestling. The way you're used to seeing it, which is what WWE's production is, and then more catering to the hardcore wrestling fan or AEW fan, which is what AEW does. They cater to their fans. They know what their fans want to see, and they just keep giving it to them and giving it to them and giving it to them. It's the hopium. And that's what it is. It really is the hopium that Tony Khan. I mean, Tony Khan's been all over, and he sent out two tweets today, and I thought this was interesting because, again, Tony Khan is very into social media, and he's very into what he says he's not, and he says he keeps his finger on the pulse, and I can tell he does. But he sent out earlier on, he put, this was about 3:18 today, 3:18 Eastern. He sends out a tweet yesterday, one of my favorite days, including great visits with fans and media, trip to LA for the most fulfilling meeting of my life with Warner Brothers, Discovery leadership, dinner with my dad and Dana White, where I got to break the news to Dana about Money in the Bank moving to MGM. Today, AEW Rampage on TNT. And then he comes back a second time and then put on the tweet, genius move trying to take on Dana in the UFC in Vegas during International Fight Week. See you tonight on Friday night, AEW Rampage on TNT Drama at a special time tonight, 6:30 Eastern. So again, he follows the product and he follows WWE. He follows everything they do. And I just don't know how he finds time to do all this. Unless he's got somebody that is just there to just be like, hey, this is what they said. And then he goes back and everything else. You have to remember, he's a co-owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's in the leadership for Fulham. He does his own data service that provides analytics to like The Athletic and other outlets. He's running AEW. He's touring. He's doing media. You know, and then he can still jump on here and throw jabs every once in a while. So, again, will everything catch up to him? We'll see. Right now, the number they're looking for is 170,000. That's the buys they're looking for to beat their last pay-per-view. As long as they can keep going up incrementally, they're fine. They're fine, which tells me that, you know, again, I don't think CM Punk and Bryan Danielson are on the AEW payroll. MJF still not happy. Again, and I don't know whether this is more of an angle because Tony Khan was asked about this on the media call and on the podcast, and he kind of glided over in the podcast. But on the media call, he said, you know, sometimes when real life plays out on TV, it becomes more intriguing. So it's very interesting to me to see, you know, is this part of the play for MJF? He's got 2 years left on the contract, so he's there for a little while. But when does it become enough to where it starts becoming a distraction? Now it's all fun and games. Oh, we can use that. Oh, do that and this and that. But when does it start becoming like, okay, wait a minute now. Let's go. How many more shots do they take at, you know, at WWE? Again, it starts becoming like what WCW was, right? They took the shots. Oh, tonight, Mankind wins the belt. That's going to put ass in the seats. And what happened? That totally changed the whole direction of the Monday Night Wars. So sometimes it's just better just to focus on your product and continue that focus. Do streamline focus. Yes, you're going to know what's going on in the other product, but for why do you need to tweet out anything about the competition moving Money in the Bank July 2nd to the MGM Grand? How does that, you know, if half of those people that might follow AEW don't follow WWE, which I doubt that's true, but now you've just alerted them to your competition. So again, it's one of those things. It's going to be very interesting where these next, I would say I will have a feel for AEW, a better feel when it gets to about, I'd say October, November. Let's go with November because it is almost June now. 5 months, 5 months from now, I will be able to tell you, or I won't be able to tell you which direction they're going. Because right now, I don't know, with the Warner Brothers Discovery merger, does that change some of the things? With everything that Tony Khan's saying, he's putting on that big front that, hey, big things are happening. Big things are happening now. I'm having these meetings. He went and had meetings the other day. They're flying Wednesday to Los Angeles. They're at the Forum. They're throwing, you know, AEW a big, you know, meet and greet with the executives of Warner Brothers and Discovery to get to know everybody and understand the product and everything, for them to come out and see the product. It's a big front right now. So we'll have to see where that goes, because that is huge right now. Because if they don't want that product is going to be pushed to the back burner. Because you have to remember, they've already got, like I said, the NHL, which is going to be going off soon. They got the NBA. They got golf. They got NASCAR. There's a bunch of things that are going to be happening on USA TNT. They have jumped into the sports. Now, again, does that change with this merger? Do they complete what they already have the rights to and then get out? Because if that happens, that might be better for AEW, honestly. Because you can't keep doing, you know, your show at 6:30, 7:30, 5:30, 7:30, 10:30, 9:30, 9:30. Now we're back to normal time for 6 weeks. Now we're back to 5:30. That just doesn't work, man. That doesn't work. Fans don't, they're not going to go to that. They're not going to be jumping around like that. Right now, the heater up 70 to 58, 5:20 to go. And actually, Boston just cut it to 10. So it's an interesting time for wrestling. We've got a Hell in the Cell coming up for WWE, which we'll see more of that take shape. It's almost shaping up to be a Raw pay-per-view. A lot of the stuff that's happening on it looks like it's going to be from the Raw side. We'll have to see where it comes out for the WWE, for the SmackDown side. But right now, majority of the matches are going from Raw. You've got Bobby Lashley with MVP and Omos. You've got, Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Becky Lynch. You know, so you've got the, right now, I guess they're going to do the women's tag team titles at some point. That has yet to kick off and replace the titles off of Sasha and Naomi. So we'll have to see what's going on there with that. And as I said, you know, again, this can be a quicker show than normal. So, but again, I'll be back here Sunday, 6:30 PM. We'll get started and it will be just AEW Double or Nothing. We'll take a look at the pay-per-view. We'll get some, pick some, winners and losers, which match I think might steal the show, which match, you know, could end up being very interesting. And then also by then we will know, will there be a Game 7? And then that's going to be the interesting thing with Tony Khan, to see how he sits and sets up the card to where the heavyweight title goes on after Game 7, because Game 7s have been ending right now. It's been ending about 11:15, 11:30, which isn't late for a pay-per-view. But again, how do you pace the rest of the card? And one of the things I was looking at was, you know, you have 12-minute quarters. You have your 12-minute quarters here, you know. So do they say, okay, Anarchy in the Arena match, you guys are going to go out there and they're going to watch the fourth quarter. Right when the fourth quarter starts, they do the introductions. The fourth quarter starts the game and they just let it go. Let it go. And then they're just telling the guys what's going on. Okay, there's about 2 minutes left in the game. There's no timeout, so we can go ahead and take it home. And then we can start setting up for the heavyweight title match. Or are they going to put a couple matches after? Because he did say there would be more action after Game 7 goes off. So we'll have to see. Do they draw out these matches? And also, do they put the proper matches drawn out? Because there's a couple of matches on there I don't want to see drawn out right now. I don't want to see the Jade Cargill match drawn out. Young Bucks and Hardys, you could probably send that forever. Samoa Joe, and I think almost every other match, Jade Cargill right now would be the only match, and then maybe MJF Wardlow. I don't think that match needs to be drawn out. You know, again, if you want to have Spears come out and do some stuff, but I think ultimately, you know, once Wardlow gets his hands on MJF, if you want to string that out a little bit, maybe he comes to the ring handcuffed and you jump him and you leave him in the handcuffs for a while and you beat him down and everything else, you can string that out a little bit. But then once Wardlow, you know, gets those handcuffs off and gets his hand on MJF, then it should be rather quick and painful. The AEW tag team match, you could add some time there. They might be able, they can handle that. So overall, I think it's set up to be a great night of action. And again, we'll be back right here on the Big O Radio Show YouTube channel. For everybody that's been on, I appreciate you. For those listening on a podcast, I appreciate you as well. Make sure you drop me a line on Twitter or Instagram at Sean_Stanley11. Comment on it. Send me an email at BigORadioShow@Yahoo.com. Kyle Lowry hit a big three. It's 73-64. Hopefully, there'll be a game seven, and we'll be talking about how they have to string along the time. So once again, from the studios here in Miami Gardens, I'm Sean Stanley. This is the Squared Circle Digest. And in the words of the great Gordon Solie, so long from the Sunshine State.